Alrighty, so I'm going to attempt, it might be the proper word, to maybe remind, which I need reminders, and maybe, and there's always that chance, because we so often assume, and it's hard for me to remember this also, maybe sometimes we haven't always heard all of some details. I'm going to cover a fairly large topic, and I want to do so fairly simply, if possible. I'd like to talk about planning. Planning, but not so much my planning, because my plans, if they're like your plans, or maybe you're one of those people, I don't know, that song Farther Along kind of fits. It's like other people seem to get it together. How come I can't? What is wrong here? I loved, by the way, your request this morning, Michael. What God brings into our life and allows us to go through sometimes to build us up in Him, because there is a bigger picture. There's a bigger picture. There's God's plans. Now, we have a few ways to look at that. And I brought some props. Just for the fun of it. Just because today, not all of us that our wives are missing, but enough of us that we could get away with this, we could kind of call it more like a men's type of a thing, right? The ladies could retreat, the men are going to move forward. So.
This is recorded.
This is recorded. I'm in trouble. Yeah. So I have something that's familiar probably to some of you. This is called a plan. This is a plan of a place I've never been. This is a plan of, obviously, Green Office Park, somewhere up in Tigard. I have a lot of plans at my house, or I did, and I purged a bunch, and then I needed some, and then it's like, so I borrowed this off a job site. It was an empty bank. But we have a plan. So if you look at a plan, are you familiar with the plan? And I also thought of a counterpart also for some people, maybe like a pattern. You know, ladies use a pattern. It'd be kind of similar. But we have plans that we use. In this, there's multiple pages. It goes on. This one's got a site map. It's got, there's your map. There's your lot where the buildings are going to be, the parking's going to be. And then you move on through this plan, and it gets rather confusing, to tell you the truth, on my angle of this. Maybe some of you are familiar with those things a little more than I am. But I have a specific part that I play in most plans, and I look for one or two pages, and the rest I ignore. What about you? I mean, that's kind of like how. So I'm looking in here, and there's my plumbing fittings. Not mine. Somebody else's. But there's a large overview. That's a plan. This is a design. This is a place that was built. This is something that's happened. This is actually, this was, I think this 2004 that's dated. God's got a plan. He doesn't just have a plan. He has a design. And it's one of those things that kind of really blows me away. Genesis 1:1. That's a really simple start right there. Really simple start. In the beginning, we could actually say it together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. And okay, we can go in through. I'm not going to teach through creation right now. But there's this part of me that wonders a lot, ponders a lot, about what did that look like before God started making the heavens and the earth. It was said it was void, but I think too often we might think that God just started randomly playing with stuff. I do that. You ever make something and you're just like, what are you making? I don't know. When I was a kid, we would whittle a stick, right? What are you making? Well, I'll see when I'm done. But I believe that God had a plan, a design, and that design, he knew the end from the beginning before he ever started. Does that make sense to you? God knows the entire picture. God came up with an entire picture. There's this big, big design out there. And one of the things, I got to be careful because I could get really on a squirrel trail. But I love to see in God's creation out there some of the stuff he did, the intricacies of his design, some of the things you could experience sometimes. I got to experience, it wasn't just see, I got to experience with some friends the eclipse. Wow, that was so cool. God knew, I believe, before he ever started putting stuff together, exactly when that particular time that the sun would be blocked for me up in the mountains would happen. God's a very good designer. God does what is right. He makes what's right. God, there's a large scale you could look out into. You could look out into the stars, and you think about this a little bit. All the way from, I mean, how many billions of galaxies are out there? We got no concept of what is out there, of how big the expanse of space is. But you know what it depends on? It depends on these things called atoms, molecules, down to the tiniest thing. What holds those together? What if they all just kind of started dysfunctioning? You and I, we don't even worry about that. Because God holds them together. The Bible says it's held in his hands. He's holding the universe together. He's the one that keeps it all together. He designed it. He made it. It's his. So we have this great big design. A whole lot bigger than that one I just held up. Then we try to look at that a little bit. I kind of got inspired by this. God's been teaching me over and over. I get a lot of the same lessons over. And we move from the large concept of what's going on around us to what's going on in each of our daily lives. Why is stuff happening? What's this? What's that? Few weeks ago, dealing with yet another problematic job at work, and God brings me this space periodically that I'm driving to Medford to go to a job that was going south again. And don't feel sorry for me; that's what I get paid for, is doing jobs that go south. So it's okay. And I'm going there, and I'm like, God, how in the world are you going to use this? What good is this? How does this fit in this total picture, God? What is your concept? What do you see? Because what I see right now is a mess. That's kind of what I see a lot of times. And I pray that, and you know what? I trusted in that. God so often is so faithful. And I said, God, I don't get it, but we'll just go deal with yet another one of these jobs. And God is good. He's faithful on that particular one. Actually, that particular one, we had I had to tear apart what I had already done, and then restart the job wrong, because that's what the customer's request was. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't fit on that particular job. And again, by the way, I had a little bit of encouragement. I've been reading in Isaiah and reading about God telling, Isaiah talking about the King Cyrus going to come in, and God setting him up, how that he was going to come in and do what was right. God was giving him the armies, giving him, it wasn't King Cyrus doing, God was doing that through him. Well, God, if you're big enough to do that and you care about all those things, I guess you do care about this itty-bitty little job right here today and how this works out. Went and did my thing, and in the long run, it turns out that the lady's dealing with a whole lot worse stuff than I ever am. A person that needs compassion and love. But that's how God puts us in places where we need to be, right? That's a part of His plan. But there's a part of His plan, so we only see a few pages at a time. Let's look at God's perspective. He's eternal. He has all the knowledge. He sees the beginning from the end. You and I, we have our minds are we're right here right now. We have our very finite minds. We can't see all that. God sees the whole picture. We see, I depend on props quite a bit. We see things like this. There's the picture I see today. There's another plan. Now, this one is my portion of a job that I did, and it's colored here and there of what I'm supposed to do. God gives us portions of His plan. I'm going to say portions, and I have to say that very carefully. We can find His plan in here. But I'm going to say this very carefully. Don't confuse this with the entire plan. This is right. This is accurate. What we find in the Bible is right and accurate. But how is it possible to convey to our minds that are here in this time and place from an infinite perspective? Is that possible? I don't think it is. But God over and over reaches out in love and speaks to us through His Word, through each other, and to our hearts. I'm supposed to be reading more Bible. Sorry, I'm kind of nervous. It's just us. Okay, thank you, John. I did. I wrote a bunch of verses down, and they're somewhere in here if I could read them. So as we deal with the stuff we deal with in life, and sometimes they're harder things than others, if we can keep God's perspective, if we can just understand and trust, let me put it that way, if we can understand and trust that God has a grand, great design, that God is doing what is right, that God makes what is beautiful. That's what He said in creation when He was done with each day. He said, it's good. That's good. That's right. But then what happens? So let's jump over to, and this goes a little bit where David was talking this morning. Great Sunday school class, by the way. A little plug-in for going to Sunday school. Even though I'm usually in the back, I got to sit out here. What happens? As sin came into this world, as Adam and Eve, but then us also, rebelled against God, it'd be kind of taking God's great big design and just kind of scribbling over it. Here's where I struggle a little bit with illustration, so I got to be careful. Let me think of a different. Well, I'll just use it. Well, no. It'd be like taking, let's say, a Rembrandt, which I'm not a super big art fan or something. But it'd be like taking some very famous, important painting that's beautiful of somebody, and then going up there and drawing a mustache on it, and their hand picking their nose, or something like that, right? But worse than that, that's really what, sin is worse than that, but that's going, I'm going to superimpose over that my will, the way I see it. God's got this plan, God does what is right, and that's what sin is in our life. I'm going to do it my way. My way's better. Yet He has a plan that's beautiful, that's perfect and right. He has a plan that's got good things in it. And yet we introduce into that plan things that aren't. That we somehow in our mind were deceived that that's good. That this is how I want it. Yet He has something that's beautiful, that's right for us. I hope that's a good illustration. I reaching out on that one a little bit. The cool thing is, on God's plan, on that, on His design, is He's got this way to get rid of that marker. It's called Jesus, isn't it? It's called Jesus. So the where we impose with our will and our sin as we go there, God made a way to take care of that. And thankfully, His design, it will be what's right. There's a whole lot of, I could go bigger or small. I'm going to try to keep it simple for my sake. Thank you. So we look at what is, if we can, yeah, we look at what's affecting us. There's kind of multiple levels on that. And usually what we're dealing with on a daily basis is the right here and right now. What hurts us immediately, what we want, what we see around us. A week ago it was the smoke, right? For some people that was the biggest thing they could complain about. Other people have other stuff to complain about. Other people have real needs, real problems. But usually we're seeing the right here and right now. If we can get a view of God's design that's bigger, and that's, believe me, and I pondered this, why was I going to even try to talk about this? Because we need to try to grasp that. We need to try to grasp that. Where do I go? It's like the whole Bible to try, and it still doesn't grasp what God's design is, but God is going to do what's right. We can find instruction and encouragement. We need to keep the big picture. All right, let me look at my notes a little bit here.
Cliff, can I interject
absolutely.
Passage of scripture here that yes. fits perfectly with what you're saying. Psalm 103. It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are just dust."
Thank you, John. I should look at notes, and that's that's absolutely true. God's ways are not our ways. They're not our ways. One of the things that we see quite a bit around us is people saying, "I can't believe that God would do this or thus. I can't believe in a God that would send anybody to hell." God's not trying to send someone to hell, but it's there. There's judgment. But just because our concept, we try to make God in our image, we're taking His plan and we're just taking that Sharpie, scribbling all over the place. And yet, He is so good to us. And if we can, and His ways are so much higher, and His ways are right. Yes, He is. So let's move on from there. It says in verse 10 on that, that's Psalms 103. "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Let's move to another really simple plan. I want to go over this, and I thought about, is this too simplistic or not? And I don't think it's too simplistic. I think it's a right thing. This is something that, by the way, is used a lot at Bible release. Jump over to Romans. Yes, we will open up our Bible some today. I would have gotten in trouble for this a few years ago. I might still, I don't know. Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Probably know where we're going with this, right? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We had 28 on the last two verses. But God demonstrates his own love toward us that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then over to Romans 10. By the way, I didn't come up with all this. I just looked up the list. Like, what's it called? It's called Romans Road, isn't it? Right? And it's a beautiful thing. And it's a part of the plan. Romans 10, verses 8 through 10. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And I think part of the key thing on looking at this is our cooperation is very important on this. To believe is to cooperate in a lot of ways. It changes how we act. So we can jump over. This is the verse I do preach on every Sunday at Brookdale. I might not be there today. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Belief. It's a very key thing, and it's not just a concept in the noggin, is it? To believe changes the course, changes your action, changes everything about you. It's not just a concept of believing, but that's it's an action word. And to believe, if I believe that there is, I'm going to jump back over to this great big plan. The more that I see and understand and believe in God's big plan, the more I'm going to cooperate. Fairly simple message. I want to cooperate more. The more that I believe on the small scale, in the small things, the more I'm going to cooperate. The more I cooperate, the more we cooperate with God's plan, the better things are. Not always immediately. It doesn't mean we get the Lamborghini or whatever it is somebody wants. But the more we cooperate, we're a part of that beautiful big picture. Let's jump back over to the big picture. God's creating something that's beautiful, that's right, that's big. And then we can jump to the down the road, the new heavens and new earth. It's not just about then, but in your life, God can build up what is beautiful. It talks about in Revelation. I'm just going ahead and look at my notes. I'm not super good at memorizing stuff. Actually, it's 1 Peter 2:4-5. In God's plan, I had to pull this verse out because I'm a rock hound. Wait, that's not it. Ah, that's because I was on 2 Peter. It's like, that was 1 Peter 2. Four and five. And coming to him as a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up in a spiritual house for holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We become, in that plan, a part of it. I mean, the picture of a mosaic could come to mind very simply, right? The world I deal with, I don't know, what are we? Are we a little plug in the wall? Am I a piece of tile? What am I in God's plan? But all I know is what God makes is right. What I know is that what God makes is beautiful. What God makes lasts. It's gonna be good. And the picture of living stones, and I know there's some other rock hounds here, but we can trust that what God's going to use us for something beautiful and for His glory. That's the bottom line. So when we lose track of those things, we get distracted. I get distracted easy no matter what. But God's really good at reminding me to keep looking back at those things, because that's what keeps us... I look forward to see what His design is. Okay, let's just put it that way. I'm just going to jump back where I started. In conclusion, where I started, I think God's got a huge plan. And He's told us little bits and pieces of it. And it just helps us to not think that we've got Him figured out and know better and can do better ourselves. Let's do it His way. Let's go with His plan. His plan works. My plans don't. His plan will result in something beautiful. And I think I'll just stop right there. I think that's the point. Let's do it God's way. We'll close right there. Matt, did you have another song?
Yeah, a song.
Okay, let's go with that.
As a young Christian, I marveled at all the things of creation. And I'm still, marveling about DNA and the breadth of creation, not with just what we know, but beyond, beyond another galaxy. And I always question the part about God created heaven and earth in 6 days. I always thought, that's an awful lot of creation for the six-day effort, and I believe the Bible, but as a young man, I got my first real job preparing landscape plans, which are more complicated than sound, and the plans after we would get them developed and ready to go out, they would go to this engineer. And he would sit with his feet up on the desk, popping sunflower seeds. I don't think the Lord popped sunflower seeds, but he might have. And he thought about those plans and looked at them, studied them, wrote nothing down, but it was all being recorded in his mind. And he would spend maybe 2 or 3 days just thinking about how to execute, which came first, so he didn't go back and have to tear up stuff like he did. And then he would just sit down on the computer and he would just start out and it would flow and it was beautiful. And I watched him and I thought, I bet that's exactly how God did it. I bet he set up checking some sunflower seeds with his feet up on his earthly throne. And just thought about it for a real long time because he's done such a beautiful job.
That's kind of where we're going.
Put it in place in 6 days.
But what does eternity look like to think about something? And that's, I guess, where I'm going. I have sometimes a little hard time explaining that, but in my mind, it baffles me and it blows me away. It's exactly it. How long did God... So, in the same token, I know I'm talking, but hey, why not? I mean, I find these little fossils. I'm a rock hound. I just found some last weekend. It's like, wow, that's cool. Like, did God just, like, insert when he made everything? He just, like, inserted that? Or did that actually come in the process sometime, some way? How does God do that? He knew, he knows, he, in your life, in my life, he knows exactly what needs to happen, what we're doing. And it's not, we're not, he's not surprised, right? An architect, God's not like an earthly architect. I know that. I can trust him. I go on a job and you get designs that are way off and you go, this is not physically possible. You know, you open the bathroom door and it hits the toilet and you go, somebody missed. You can't get in this place. But yes, God had how long? What did that look like? That's a big question I have, which, again, I get excited about that, but I get nervous up here. Does he have plans actually written out up there? Or is it just all... I don't know. I'm excited to learn. I'm excited to be a part of. I want to participate. And yes, it's beautiful when you see something that is planned out and drawn up and done properly and executed properly, goes down to the details. What's God doing? I want to be a part of that. Yeah.
I was watching Daystar Christian Channel this morning, and they were giving a program about the flood and what took place. And that's where your fossils came from. And it was an awesome program because he said the water didn't just come from the heavens.
It came from underneath.
But from under the ground. And how when it was finished, when they got out of the ark, they saw a rainbow. And how we should think of what God did, loving mankind, the faithful mankind. And that's what we're going to be looking forward to, that the faithful will survive. And it really was an awesome program.
I think I'm going to come out and get some sort of...
Another.
When you were talking about getting about what it was like before God created everything, and you know, we know darkness and void and like that, but the scripture came to my mind, and this is for each and every one of us, and each and every person we have to tell about it, but that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The first verse 4 says, he chose us before the foundation of the world. We should be in the gathering before him in love. He chose each one of us. So something to think about. He chose us in his plan.
Before the foundation.
Before the foundation. Back when it was nothing. I mean, these things are way bigger than our minds. And all the questions that we have, and then the other scripture that I love is Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible. Please. When we're going to try to figure out these things and being overwhelmed with figuring it out, we've got to have faith in him because he's, like you said, he has the good plan, and he does have a plan, and it is going to happen. And it's often better for us if we go with his plan a lot better.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, that was in my notes too, and I did.
Good job. Good job, bud. I think you could, I think maybe it needs to get on there. Why don't we stand up for this?